Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2011 Alleluia Conference. In this session titled, Hear Ye, Publicizing Your Children's Choir Event, Michael Bedford addresses how publicity is the key to building audiences and support for your service, concert, or musical. To learn more about the Alleluia Conference, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
Let's stop for just a minute before we get into this and just see what sort of publicity do you do when you're getting ready to do something?
It depends on what we're doing. If it's like our musical, then, obviously it goes in our newsletter. We may or may not, usually we don't put something in the newspaper, but I think we have before.
Okay.
Little flyers up all over the church. If it's for something like that, we make up little postcard size, little versions of our flyer.
Cool.
And the kids can take them to school. They can just take a little handful.
Good.
They can't pass them out to their entire class, but they can give them to their teachers, and they can give them to their friends. And
good.
Stuff like that. So,
well, that's a neat thing, yeah.
If it's just a Sunday morning thing, we don't publicize ahead of time, except for the families, we're singing Sunday morning, please be here at this
time. Yeah.
So.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we actually put together postcards too, and sometimes we'll mail out a postcard along with everything else, and then we save some of those postcards and let people take them with them and give them to whoever they want. And so that is kind of an extra touch sometimes. We'll just start at the top of the page and work down. Think ahead and allow plenty of time for publicity. Many of us are on the side of too little, too late. We assume that everyone knows what we know, and in reality, no one knows anything but us. And I found myself in that position I don't know how many times, because I know exactly what's going on, and it just seems like everybody else should, I have to realize that if we don't make some extra effort, that they really don't. And I find that that is one of the things I have to think about a lot, because I know exactly what's going on. And I've talked to a couple of people, and so it seems like everybody ought to know, but all of a sudden somebody said, oh, I didn't know you were doing it. And so, then we find ourselves in trouble because we didn't get enough word out soon enough. And so it's a tough call to make. I have to work myself on trying to get things done, plenty of stuff done. If possible, line up an individual to assist you with publicity on a volunteer basis. In our church, I don't know about yours, in our church we actually have some people who are in the PR business. That's what they do for a living. And so every once in a while we'll tap them to help us. If we're doing something major, they can get things in the paper where other people can't. And so very often we will have them run some publicity for us. but also, there are other people who can take care of other things who aren't PR based. I mean, they can actually do some things that you would have to do otherwise. They could write an article, or they could contact so-and-so, or send stuff into the radio or whatever. But sometimes it's good to not have to worry about that yourself and to be able to assign it to someone else. And so knowing that there are some people around who would help with that. And what's interesting to me, I found out more and more that you can't necessarily stick a thing in the bulletin or the church paper that says, we need volunteers for publicity. If you're interested, please call.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all. No,
you have to call.
Right, yeah, because people will respond to being asked directly. Mm-hmm. They'll see a thing and they say, oh, that might be that. Then they'll forget. But if you talk to them on Sunday morning and say, I really need somebody to write an article for me about the children's show that your kid is in, would you mind? And so many times, oh, I'd be glad to do that. So we just have to remember that there are people around who can help us in these areas, and we'll take that on as a responsibility. And so, and sometimes it's fun to pass it around. I mean, it's good to know somebody and know somebody you can go to, but there are other people around too that can help out with that sort of thing. And also, one person could be responsible for one thing, say the writing an article for the paper. Another could be responsible for getting in touch with the radio stations. Another could be responsible for being sure that there is something that goes to the newspaper, not the church paper, but the newspaper. And so different people could help with different aspects and make a much lighter work. And so lining up volunteers is often very beneficial when we're trying to publicize. Do you have an email distribution list?
I do not,
okay.
But I'm about to.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I find it very beneficial. When I first moved to Tulsa, a good friend of mine said, you need a mailing list. And he'd been there for 15 years. Mm-hmm. He said, you need a mailing list. He said, let me give you mine, and you can just pull out of it what you want. And so he in those days we didn't email stuff. He downloaded it and just gave me a copy. And I had, I don't know how many pages of names and addresses. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were local churches, a lot of them were local, schools. Some of them were businesses. Some of them were individuals that I knew would not, that they were individuals he was trying to reach for through his church. But I was able to go through and cull out and make my own list. So after we got computers, I've been in this church a long time. After we got computers, then I was able to take all these names and put them in, create a format where they'll print off onto mailing labels and type each name and address on one of these. And so, three across, 10 down, whatever. And just create a list. I have about an 8-page distribution list of names that every time we do anything, something goes to those people. It can be a postcard, or it can be a flyer, or it can be something. But now they're in the computer, and so very often we will do a mail out to folks like that. But also, you might want to include not just the other churches, but if you have choir directors in schools, friends of yours that you might put those on your list. Any friends of yours that want to support you. But it's really handy because when you get ready to do some sort of a mail out, if you can just run them off on the labels, and then whoever's helping you can stick them on and get them in the mail real quick. That is so much easier than the way it used to be, and so very, very helpful. Do you have anybody that helps you design posters or cards?
Our children's minister is actually very good at that.
Cool.
And I work at the church anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing related to music or children, but and she's right across the hall from me, so we get that done real fast.
We have a young man on the staff. He's probably in his mid-20s that is sort of a jack of all trades. I mean, he came aboard as sort of one of our computer people, but in his last job, he was a graphic designer. And so what we found is that not only does he oversee all of our computers and take care of all the issues that we have with those, but that anytime we need a poster of any kind, he can come up with the neatest ideas. And I mean, it always works. It seems like, you tell him what you want and you put it down on paper and say, just any kind of little, and then he'll come back with something and you'll think, oh, that is so cool. And so he does a lot of designing of posters and cards and things like that. And of course, one of the things you can do with an email with a distribution list is to send a flyer through the mail that they can download and put up at their church. Mm-hmm. And he designs those color. Mm-hmm. And it's just, his work is incredible. And he's always, seems like he's just always glad to do it. I think he misses computer design. And so it's kind of right down his alley when we need something like that for him to just step in and help us out with creating attractive designs and making neat posters and things like that. Let's look at, for a minute, at long-term publicity. This is stuff that has to happen pretty quick. If possible, plan your entire year in the summer before. We've talked about that in other sessions, because that way you know when your Christmas musical is, you know when your spring musical is, you know all these things that are gonna happen that you need to publicize. And in your publicity, there are several things you want to include. All the questions that they talk about in newspaper work, the who, what, where, when, not necessarily why, just depends. who, for example, your junior choir, name of your church, what the name and type of the event. Maybe it's going to be a choir concert. Maybe it's going to be end of the year musical. Where church sanctuary, such and such church, so and so address, or parish hall, or whatever. When you put the date and the time, then how much is it going to cost? Okay, maybe it's not. If it's not, then admission is free, and that always perks people up when they see that. But if there is a cost, sometimes you know you want to list that on there because that is part of your publicity. I mean, people need to know before they come what you may want to do sometimes. And this is always kind of cool. We'll often not have an entrance fee for something, but we'll suggest that people bring canned goods, and we'll gather those and for the homeless, you know. And so very often we'll put out a couple of big bushel baskets, and as people come in, they'll drop off canned goods. And that really has been kind of successful because that's a way of paying, but it's a way of mission work and reaching out, you know, outreach and all that kind of stuff. But that would be something that would go on your publicity. You know, we're invited. The admission is free, but please bring a non-perishable item for our food pantry or whatever. And that often appeals to people. And you know, a minimal cost is not bad. You might want to say, you know, $5 to help cover the cost of renting the such and such. You know, if there is a figure, if there is an amount. Be sure that it's on there so that people don't come and find out they're going to have to pay. Then the last thing you put on that little publicity thing is for more information. Because oftentimes people see that and they'll think, well, I have a question too. I wonder if I can park. Is it wheelchair accessible? I wonder if, you know, and so there are all kinds of things that people don't want to know. So you just put your name, phone number, email address, whatever, along with that for more information. When you finally get that put together, you're going to want to send it a lot of different places. What city are you in?
San Marcos.
Oh, yeah. South Texas. Is that near New Braunfels?
It's just north of New Braunfels.
That's what I thought. We've been there in Ribbon Rapids before.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
We have the Outlet Malls.
Huh?
We have the Outlet Malls.
Yeah, right. Does San Marcos have any of these organizations and chapters, like the Corsicale chapter? Or?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, but you are close to Austin and San Antonio,
yeah,
aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, we're pretty much right between the two.
That's what I thought, yeah. You could send things to these organizations in these cities. I mean, it would be kind of cool for some of the big cities to know that this town in the middle of you all is busy. We're doing stuff, you know, come see us. And it might be surprising sometimes who does. But you might want to get hold of your list of NGO people in Austin.
What does AGO stand for?
American Guild of Organists.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what is the ACDA?
ACDA is American Choral Directors Association.
Okay.
And CG is Choristers Guild. And any other musical organizations, I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's Texas Choral Directors Association, TCDA. In fact, they used to be based in San Antonio. But anyway. Any of these organizations that are nearby often will share their mailing lists. I mean, you tell them what you are and why you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they'll share it. If they won't, then fine, you try. But sometimes it's kind of neat to add that to your overall distribution list because
okay.
that gets a lot more. And you know, with a computer, it costs nothing to publicize. Absolutely nothing. And so that's the neatest thing about it is that it doesn't matter how big your list is. Because your distribution list doesn't cost a penny to add names here and there. And so that is really, it's been a boon for publicity. But contact the heads of these organizations if you know who they are, if you find out who they are, to get their email addresses. And then you may want to send them along to other people down a little poster that they can run off and put on their bulletin boards wherever they are. okay, short-term publicity. You want to send the same information to local churches and colleagues in the music ministry. You can get email addresses through the pastor or the priest. If you have contacts with a certain church, they may be able to get you, you know, all of the Baptist churches in the area, or maybe a Presbyterian church that has all the Presbyterian addresses somewhere. I know that at St. John's in Tulsa, we have someplace, we have the Episcopal churches in our area with all their addresses, even who the rectories. And so it's good to get those and just keep those handy so that you can publicize to all these individual churches as well. Because very often, lots of churches, people in churches want to see what other churches are doing. And particularly if you're doing something like a musical, I mean, there may be churches who are getting a children's choir program started, and they're trying to get ideas, and then they see something about, oh, this church is doing a children's musical. Let's go see how they do it. And so they may, you know, pick up on that publicity and come and see you just because they're curious about how this works, and then they may want to talk to you afterwards about what you've done to make it work. So short-term publicity to churches and colleagues is a good thing. Okay, for your newspaper and your radio stations, you may want to write a press release. Do you write press releases?
I never have, but we do have a staff member that has.
Good, okay. We're going to look at a sample press release. It's on the back of that. This is very simple. What it does is just give the basic information. For immediate release, that's usually the way they start, because you're going to send it to several places, so you're not going to address it to anybody. You're just going to have it ready to go to the paper and to whatever radio stations you have. A lot of the classical station in Tulsa will read almost anything I send them verbatim. They almost don't even edit it. And so they're some of the best publicity we have for our musical events. But we don't get much from our paper. Does your paper support?
Our paper has a free, I think it's called Church Listing. I mean, it has something to do with, it's only churches, but they will put anything in free for churches. It's always in the same little section, you know, and it just kind of goes by.
Is it run on Saturday or does it run every day?
I think it's on Fridays.
Okay.
So.
We can't get our paper to do a story. If we send them a story, they won't run it. They'll condense it down to four lines. And there's a Saturday thing called the religion section. And they have different events. You know, one of the things is music, and they'll list it under there, but they'll condense it down to this much.
Okay.
And so our paper does not support us very much. I think larger town papers sometimes don't.
Right.
And I know people have better luck in small towns with the newspaper helping out, because I forget where it was that I was doing something not long ago. I think it was Henderson, North Carolina. I was playing a recital at a friend's church. And he showed me the entire article with my picture that the paper had run just the day before. And I could not, I thought, God, I wish Tulsa would do that, you know. But the larger cities have, they have so much going on. And they just draw the line and say, we're not going to do such and such. And so we don't get a lot of newspapers from this. We have to count on the radio stations. And some of the, there are some neighborhood extensions of the newspaper. They're called, you know, our paper's called the Tulsa World. And then there's also the Community World, which is in different parts of town. It might be the South Community World, or it might be the West Community. And so some of those will often help us, but, you know, you have to kind of find out who those are. But anyway, the press release would read something like this. For immediate release, February 20th, 2010, I'm not sure where that date came from. It's probably when I was getting ready to do this somewhere else. The Junior Choir of First Church, 1234 Church Street. We'll present 100% Chance of Rain by Walter S. Horsley on Sunday afternoon, February 28th at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Okay, that's everything condensed into one sentence. I mean, that keeps people from having to just read and read and read to find the basic information. It's all right there in the first sentence. So you want to be sure that you have the basics there. Then what you want to do is tantalize a little bit. Okay? In addition to the show, the audience is invited to a potluck dinner immediately following the show. Okay. Now you want to recognize the people that are going to help you. Directed by so-and-so and accompanied by on the piano by so-and-so. This musical focuses on the story of Noah and features a number of tunes in a jazz style. You want to kind of tease them a little bit and let them know there's going to be something kind of fun going on that they will really enjoy. And when they start thinking about the fact that these are kids doing this, you know, it kind of has an appeal. Do you know the musical by chance?
I did not know that one.
It is one of the granddaddies of children's musicals. It came out in Portugal back in the 60s, I think. It's the very first one that got that whole thing going with their catalog. But it's a jazz cantata on the 100%, on the story of Noah. And just fun music. You know, we actually did it one year and built an ark. You know, we made an ark and in pieces. And so at one point, while Noah was building the ark, while some of the music was going, each kid would take something up and put up there on the stage. And by the time they got it all up there, it was all put up. And then they went on in twos with umbrellas. And it was just kind of a fun thing. But it's one of those shows that has a lot of appeal. It's about 30 minutes. It's not, most children's musicals aren't very long. But anyway, accompanied by Solon on the piano, feature story of Noah. Assisting the director and accompanist will be Solon on the flute, because they have extra instruments, Solon on bass, and Solon on percussion. Special features of the show, go a little bit further, will be the actual construction of an arc right in front of the audience, plus the use of rain sticks during one of the songs. And so what you're doing is you're giving them a taste, you're giving them kind of a little teaser about, there's some really neat stuff going on in the show. And a lot of times, there won't be a whole lot of people more than your parents, but I do know that some of our church people look for things like this to go to. And when they see something like this, you know. And if it's at a time like 5 p.m., when it's not too dark yet, some of the older folks will come. They're leery about getting out at night, but they may show up for an afternoon thing, especially if there's a supper afterwards. If you feed them, they will come. So anyway, you get down to just, that's the kind of basic paragraph, and you wrap it up. The musical is free and open to the public. For more information, please call the church office at 1-2-3-4-5-6-7. Okay, any more, I think most of us have to put a prefix in front of that. But anyhow, this is sort of a generic press release that dealt with 100% chance of rain. There are other ways to, depending on what the other musicals are, to tantalize people. That says it all. It puts everything that they need to know in the first sentence. And then from that point on, it's just fluff. It's just kind of trying to lure them there by extra things they're going to be having just for fun. So that is basically what I've got. I wanted to find out, you said something about the things you do for publicity. What types of things do you publicize?
At Christmas, we will do our Christmas program. In 10 years ago, we had just one night for children's choirs to do a Christmas program. And then a Sunday morning or maybe a different Sunday night, we would have our sanctuary choir. A new music minister came in, and so it's pretty much sanctuary choir with children singing at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of the same songs that the sanctuary choir sings. So some of those are over my little kindergartner's heads.
Right.
But he's leaving, and so I've been asked to please take it back to the way it used to be. So I'll be coordinating children's choirs for the first time in like 8 years again this year. So I'm looking forward to that.
I bet you will.
The good side of that was that our music minister was right there involved. He directed one of the children's choirs, and he knew exactly what he wanted. And so it was good that that he was involved.
Right.
Because a lot of music ministers,
true,
they just want somebody else to do it.
Somebody else to do it. They want to.
They want to have it, but they don't want to do it themselves. So it was good in that sense.
Yeah.
But again, talking about your making sure that everybody knows everything. Even just clothes. On a Sunday morning, obviously they're going to wear Sunday morning clothes.
Right.
But if it's in the evening, or for our spring musical, well, what do you want them to wear? Well, haven't I told you that? No. So do you want them to wear pants? Do you want them to wear dresses?
Right.
Do you, I want them to wear denim, something with a colorful t-shirt. So that's one little thing where hopefully we'll get better at that.
Yeah, well, that helps all. It's like little details.
It is just little details.
And I usually let that costuming thing go. If we're not counting on costumes per se, then I often forget to tell the kids, well, I'm calling St. Paul, sister.
Yeah.
3 days before the thing ends. And I think, oh,
I forgot to do that.
What else do you have besides your Christmas?
Pretty much Christmas and spring. This doesn't involve children's choirs, but then we have our... We don't do a choir camp in the summer. We used to a long time ago. And that's something that I would like to think about again. But we already do a week-long, all-day-long vacation Bible school type activity.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Camp Fisher Kids.
Right.
To get volunteers to help,
uh-huh.
For 2 weeks, all day,
right.
that's
right.
Kind of hard. But
How do you publicize your vacation Bible school?
Newspaper, we do pay for some ads, and really word of mouth. We've only been doing this for 4 years now. 4 years ago, we moved into a brand new facility,
mm-hmm.
and so it's really gotten out that we do this. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, they are, yeah.
And we have a sign with the LED, you know, scrolling letters and stuff, so we put that on our sign. But really, other than that, in the newspaper, we don't even send stuff to the schools anymore. The first couple of years we did.
Yeah.
Right before school was out, but we don't even do that anymore.
That sign is a good idea, because if that's out on a busy street, people see it every time they drive by.
Exactly.
And we have something that's manufactured. We actually have something we made that says Vacation Church School / Choir Camp.
Okay.
In yellow background and big blue letters.
Big banner.
Yeah, and we tag it, just take it out and put it on the corner of the street, and people see it from two different ways every time they go by. And we own that. We just take it, fold it up, stick it in the closet, and the next year we put it out again, because we don't have the dates on it. We have to put dates under it when we put it up so that people see that. But, you know, the general
for
thing.
For the GoPro, how do you do that? How do you do the dates?
I think what they end up doing is having to make them again, having to create them the way they created the sign. But
right.
It's just one little part,
okay.
And then they can attach it to that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's how it works, because every year they're able to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a neat way to publicize, because neighbors see that. And a lot of times, you know, it's interesting how many people you might pull out of the neighborhood if you're in an area. Our church is a neighborhood church. We're not a downtown church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps a lot. I think that if you're around houses, I think there's going to be a lot of people who see that and respond to it that might not otherwise. Have you considered doing a combination of choir camp with your Vacation Church School? Have you ever talked about that or explored the idea?
We have not talked about it.
Ours evolved. I came to the job 21 years ago, and I did the little 100% chance of rain. I did a thing I call a choir camp. And I had about 25 kids. And it was cool. We got together and we worked on the dialogue, we worked on songs. That's what we did all morning. It was kind of just a session where we spend an hour in rehearsal and then we take a break and then we work on some dialogue and then we do a little bit more with singing and then we have lunch. And then our neighbor across the street had a swimming pool and she offered us the pool every day. So we'd go over and let the kids swim. And then at 2 o'clock they'd be picked up. So it was 9 to 2 every day. And that went on for 2 years. And at that point in time, when I first came there, the Vacation Church School program had fallen apart. Everybody wanted to see it done, but nobody wanted to do it. You know how that is? And so it just wasn't happening. And so I got this choir camp thing going. And about the third year, somebody comes up and said, "What would you think if we did a Vacation Church School and piggybacked off you?" And all of a sudden I thought, there's people there to help. I said, that would be wonderful. So what they've done every year now is they will ask me what musical I'm going to do. I'll pick a musical out and say maybe my favorite word. And then they will build curriculum, gather arts and crafts, plan story time. I mean, they'll work a whole Vacation Church School around. If we're doing the story of Daniel, a musical, the story of Daniel, they'll pull together things that have to do with that. If we're doing Moses, the same thing. I mean, they'll look up where they can get different things to talk about Moses. The thing with Daniel, you know, you can do all kinds of neat things. There's a lion's mask you can make with a paper plate, and you know, it's really kind of a neat thing. But the kids can each make one and then hold it up while they're singing. I mean, it's fun stuff. But this just kind of evolved, and we've been doing it now for, I guess, probably 18 years. And it really works, because I was having to do everything before. When I had a choir camp, I was having to make sure we had this. I was having to make sure we had the snacks. I was having to make sure we had. But now that the Vacation Church School people are there, they parcel out everything and line up their help, and they've got all that set. And so they take care of the nitty gritty, and all I have to do is work on the music. And it's a great situation, because it's a perfect marriage of music department and Christian education department. They're working together and they're creating a product together. It's really kind of cool. But that's one of our best publicities, is the thing out on the street, like you're talking about your sign. We also, you know, our paper will print something, and people will often look for something, even if it's just four lines, they'll look for something to see what we're doing. But so I go ahead and send things in. But we count on that sign, and we count on some individual distribution lists to get things out. And of course, we send things out to people in the church with kids and try to get them there for that, involved in that way. But anyway, well, that's basically what I have. I don't know if you have anything you want to add or any questions you've got.
I can't think of anything. basically I wanted to come in here and see if there was anything, anything else, any other ideas than what we're already doing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I like the more detailed press release that you have here, and maybe contacting the Choristers Guild.
Yeah, I guess any organization, especially the Choristers Guild. Yeah, since they're involved with the children's choirs, that'd be a, it's a good contact for any children's event. Well, thank you for coming. We've been here by ourselves.
Thank you again for listening to this podcast. To learn more about the Alleluia Conference, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.